Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 results conference call of Moltec Packaging, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. We have with us today Mr. J. Lakshman Rao, Chairman and Managing Director of Moltec Packaging. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anshul Agrawal, Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management of Moltec Packaging and thank them for the opportunity to host this earnings call on their behalf. I shall now hand over the call to Mr. Rao for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for being interested in our company's quarterly review call. As put up in the information, the company has a flattish Q3. Periodically, typically, Q3 is a low period for us. Soon after the festival season, there's generally a dip in paint and other activities, painting and other activities, which results generally in a flattish Q3. But this year, due to sharp drop in paint demand by almost 10%, the overall growth in Q3 has happened to be just around 3% in volume terms. And the revenue terms, it's dipped by 3.4% from 160 crores to 154 crores. That's mainly due to the 10% drop in the paint segment volumes and 16% drop in value-wise. So this has contributed towards flattish results for the quarter Q3. However, the 9-month period, we have good numbers, almost 9 volumes and around 24% increase in PAT compared to the 9 months of the previous year. And EBITDA margins in the current quarter got affected, again, due to undercapacity utilization and several new projects being started simultaneously. There are personnel additions to the company, while their output and productivity will only come from once the projects start in the next few quarters. So that is the hints of the whole thing. On the positive side, we have one good news to share is Shell has adopted our QR code at IML and introduced their first brand in the last week, just first week of February. And two more food companies, Creamstone and Waco, are in the final stage of introducing QR code at IML for their promotions, so that our QR code concept is slowly getting into the minds of our clients, and they're also getting ready with the software support that is required to adopt the digital IML in their packaging. So that is one good news I want to share. And coming on the other front, we have been now given two letters of intent from Aditya Birla Group to set up plant at Panipat, one plant at Panipat and other at Chennai, near Chennai. In both locations, we acquired the land near to their plants within the periphery of within 3-5 km range. And these two plants will come up simultaneously, one by end of this next financial year, that is January to March of 2024, and probably in the next quarter, the Chennai plant also should go into production. So these two plants, land has been acquired. Some of the payments are paid and the commitments are received, and final payment to the Industries Development Authorities will be done in this month, and soon construction will start for these two plants. Our plant at Sultanpur is almost ready for commercial production of food and FMCG. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks or maximum by end of February, that plant will go into production for food and FMCG, with more than 12 injection molding machines in place, along with robots and molds. So that plant, for the remaining part of the pharma, it may take at least another 4-5 months to complete the DMF and get the approvals for the pharma production to go on stream. That is basically the update today, and I wish to cover more information on question and answers. Can I give it over to you?
Sure, sir.
To start the question and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue and your questions have been answered, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the first question from the line of Chandrika from Deka Enterprises. Please go ahead.
For us. Hi. My first question pertains to the IBM business, the injection blow molding business. Now I feel that this business is going to be a big failure for us, just like dispenser pumps were. IBM is also a very competitive market, just like dispenser pumps were. Also, we are waiting for the pharma city to be built up in Hyderabad. When it will come up and whether it will come up, nobody knows. Even assuming that it comes up, why should the pharma companies buy their IBM material from you? They will just use you to negotiate better terms with their existing suppliers. Get their existing suppliers to set up plants in Hyderabad and buy from them rather than buying from you. They will just use you to negotiate better terms with their existing suppliers. So instead of entering this competitive business, why don't you stick to IML, where you have a competitive advantage? I feel the IBM business is going to be a failure, just like the dispenser pump business is, because the pharma companies will not buy from you. That is my first question.
Okay, you have the second question or you want me to answer this?
What about the first question?
They'll answer.
Okay, my second question is, even assuming the IBM business is a success, in the next 3 to 5 years, what kind of revenues and profits can we expect from this business?
Okay. See, I don't get your name, sir, but anyway, there is a considerable product, competition in the IBM products at a lower end. When it comes to pharmaceuticals, there are hardly 3 or 4 major players. 3G, Pravesha, and Gopal Das are known names. Gary Schemer is an international company. They have set up here in India. They have made an acquisition. So other than these 4, there are no major players. And this area of pharma is not dependent on just the pharma city coming up at Hyderabad. Our idea is to supply this across the country. And there is a demand for these companies, from these companies, growing at a pace of more than 10 to 15% per annum. And this increase in demand will be met through additional capacities we are creating. And we are also not just limiting ourselves to the bottles, IBM bottles. We also have effervescent tablet packs. We have other products in mind to enter into pharma. For example, even canisters for the desiccants we are introducing. So like this, there will be variety of products other than just the bottles of IBM in our pharma range. That is your first concern. And the pharma city in Hyderabad is an added advantage. Once that comes up, maybe as you correctly said, it may take 2-3 years to start. That will be giving us an advantage being of a local player. That is not the complete dependencies on that pharma city is not the true correct understanding. So coming to other IBM applications, there are many applications of IBM in the OTC sector, and already your company has captured the order from IDEX to the tune of 7 to 8 crore rupees per annum, and those molds are now given clearance for the commercial production. So probably in the next 2-3 months, these IDEX OTC products will start. So in IBM, what competitiveness you are looking at is for bottles which are at the lower end of the spectrum, but even there is enough conversion coming from EBM to IBM, which is enabling decent prices and better realization compared to EBM products across the spectrum. Coming to the next 3 years revenues, in the IBM alone, we anticipate the numbers to go at least 100% over the next 3 years every year, starting from maybe 8 to 10 crores in the year 23-24 and doubling within 2-3 years to a reasonable size of 50 to 60 crores in IBM alone. Other than this, we will be having other pharma products which will be start contributing towards the end of this year, because there is a lot of DMF approvals that are required for even these desiccants and other areas. We have to have a DMF approved plant which will be only getting into operational by June, July this year. From then, it will take time for approvals and supplies may commercially start from towards the end of this year. So in this current year, we will be looking at OTC products and other IBM products to start contributing to the top line. But better numbers from pharma will be coming more from the next financial year. And together, we are anticipating in 3 to 4 years, we should be at least reaching a level of 60 to 80 crores top line with a decent EBITDA margin.
Okay, my last question to you is on the dispenser pump business. That business is an abysmal failure. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to shut it down, sell it, or are you going to still going to continue with it, despite people are not buying from us?
Yeah, we are explained to you last time. I don't know whether you were in the meeting. The dispenser pump investment is, let's say, about 12 crores. Out of which only 2.5 to 3 crores are particularly mentioned earmarked for the molds and the assembly line. Remaining 9 crores are general purpose investment in injection molding, including the infrastructure, and those are all being used for our food and FMCG products parallelly, without keeping them idle. So I would say it is a investment which is only partially utilized. Those 3.5 crores worth of investment on molds and assembly line are only partially utilized. Today we are making about 1 million pumps per month, which is keeping the line busy for hardly 25-30% of its capacity. That I agree. But the remaining 9 to 10 crores investment in the plant and machinery, injection molding and the land and building are completely utilized for our food and FMCG. It is completely a fungible activity where injection molding machines can be used for other purposes, almost at 75-80% capacity utilization, in par with our other machinery.
Thank you very much, and wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. To ask a question, please enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Darshan Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Zaveri, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed.
Hello. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry for the disturbance. Sir, I'm a bit new to the company, so sorry for my questions if they might be a bit basic in nature. So, we were just talking about our new expansion plan, and as I was going through the previous quarter's presentation, we've earmarked nearly 250 crores for expansion in the next 2 years. So, could you just help me out with the new two expansions that you are talking about, the Aditya Birla ones? What is the timeline for that, and what in any kind of, you know, capex and asset turn that we can expect from that?
Yeah, there are two plants. We have been given a letter of intent by Aditya Birla Group to be set up, one at Panipat and another at Chayur near Chennai. And these two plants have to come into manufacturing by Q4 of 24 in Panipat, and maximum by the first quarter of next year, that is Q1 of 25 in Chayur. So both these two plants, land has been earmarked to us by the industries department. Already advance payments have been made for the land acquisition, which are very close to the plants of ABG coming up there. And these two plants, they have initial commitment of about 2,000 tons per annum initially, but we are going progressively to build up their capacity. And those plants are expected to reach 3,000 to 4,000 tons of plastic material sale for us in the year 3. So that is the commitments or projections given by ABG. And these two plants will be entailing, the Panipat plant might be requiring around 30 to 35 crores because of the cost of the land being higher in Panipat, and about 25, 26 crores at Chennai. So together about 60 crores investment will be made at these two plants in the next 12 to 15 months.
What kind of revenues that we can expect or, you know, payback period or something, you know, that we could, you know, expect from these two plants?
The typical payback period we work on is 1 + 4 years. That is, 1 year is for the first year of project establishment, and then in within 4 years we look forward. Around 20% ROCE is what we look at.
Okay, sir, in general, sir, what would be our target, you know, for the next two to three years? You know, what kind of growth are we expecting? And what kind of margins would it settle? Because right now, as you said, you know, we are, you know, getting new employees and everything. So, you know, can we go back to our previous, you know, 20% margin? What would, you know, what kind of circumstances would we need, you know, to reach that? So, you know, those are two of my questions.
As I've given my previous projections, we are close to achieving 20% volume growth in this year. We are at 19.64% for the first 9 months. Typically, the fourth quarter and the first quarters are the best quarters. We are already seeing a decent growth in January and anticipate the fourth quarter will be better than last year's fourth quarter. We will be able to come close to the projected 20% volume growth for the full year. Going by the next several projects that are coming into production now, especially the one at Sultanpur, which is getting into production as early as February end or March this year. The plants at Panipat should get into the production by the end of the Q4. Sultanpur will be contributing to the numbers right from beginning of the year, let's say March 2023 onwards. That plant has already received 14 injection molding machines and IBM machines and other pharma machinery is expected to arrive here by June, July 2023. Though I'm not counting much on the pharma numbers, these food and FMCG products at Sultanpur will start production right in mid-March. This is being the beginning of our busy season till June, July or till the festival season. We anticipate the numbers to grow at a healthy 15%-18% or maybe 20% if things go well for the next financial year also. The year 2024-2025 is more promising because by then our pharma products also will be well established. Panipat plant and Chennai plant will be going into full stream of production. Our plant at Daman for food and FMCG, which we are kind of starting construction this year, will be ready to take out the Western market by next February, March. The year 2024-2025, we will have multiple, I can say, engines of growth. Sultanpur Pharma also getting into production. Panipat and Chennai starting commercial production. Daman second unit. At Panipat, we are also planning to create small capacities for our food and FMCG. They will also get into production by beginning of next calendar year. For the next busy season, we'll be having our food and FMCG not only going from Sultanpur, that is near Hyderabad, not the Sultanpur in UP. The Sultanpur is just next door to our main plant in Annaram, Hyderabad. These two plants, apart from Hyderabad two plants, Daman plant in west and Panipat plant in north, will be able to start catering to the regional demands of the food and FMCG products. Thereby, we anticipate the year 2024-2025 to be much stronger. Again, we may look at  20% volume growth like what we are achieving in this year.
Sorry to summarize. FY 2024, we might see 15%-18% volume growth. From FY 2025, we might see more growth as more capacities come in. Post that, we might also see 20%-25% growth.
Yeah, 20% you can.
20% growth. These are volume growth.
I'm talking volume growth because numbers doesn't matter because of raw material fluctuation. We always go by the targets of volume growth.
Okay, sir. At that level, our EBITDA could reach 20% or would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's again, we always talk in per kg, which was.
Okay.
Our benchmark was 40-42 rupees. This quarter it dipped to 38 point something, due to the underutilization of capacities and some of the overheads what we are bearing due to the various projects which are on the anvil but not got into production. But I think it will be 40 plus from the fourth quarter onwards, that is March quarter onwards. And it will remain in the range of 40, 42 till the pharma products start contributing. 40, 42, 43 is possible. But once the pharma starts contributing from 24, 25, we anticipate it to be in the region of 45.
Okay, so that helps a lot. And sir, if I may ask a few more questions, so what would be our current capacity utilization? Because we are coming with a lot of new CapEx, so what would be our current capacity utilization?
The current capacity utilization in majority of the plants is above 70%, but our plant at Satara, which is meant for Asian Paints, has had a small setback because Asian Paints is going for an expansion at Satara for the last 3 months, as they are planning to continue so till February. Only in March, they are planning to restart fully the operations along with the expanded capacity. So that is one of the reasons for a setback in our paint business in this quarter. Satara plant of Asian Paints has gone in for expansion, is going on for a expansion, and there are some disturbances or kind of, deviations from their planned capacity utilization, which impacted our capacity utilization in this Q3. And the indications are from February end or beginning March, they will go in for a full operations along with the expanded capacity. That may help improving our business also from March onwards. So the otherwise, the plant capacity utilizations are in the region of 75 to 80, but for Satara, which is around 63%.
This is the operator. So we move to the next question from the line of Harsh from Marcellus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. A few questions from my side. So the first question was regarding volume degrowth in the paint segment. So we have seen 10% volume degrowth in the paint segment. However, we couldn't see such sort of a volume degrowth in Asian's or Berger Paints' business. So are we seeing some market share loss in this business?
No. You might be looking at Asian Paints and the other numbers in the revenue terms. But in the tonnage terms, there is a dip or at least stagnation in their numbers. And in the case of Asian Paints, the volume drop is 6%. And in the case of Observable, it is 14% in terms of volume. So they are one of our both top clients. Asian Paints is our number one client, followed by Observable. And then comes KMP and others. So
okay. These
numbers have dipped. In terms of revenue rupees, they have made several price rises in the last 12 months. So in terms of rupees, you might not have seen any drop. But in terms of volume, there is a drop.
Okay. And sir, second question was on Berger.
Also, there is a drop. So these three are the major volume reducers for us.
Okay. So third reason you mentioned, sir, I couldn't get that.
Mandelins, that's Cadbury.
Okay, got it. Second question was on Berger Paints. In our annual report, we had mentioned that we're setting up a plant for Berger Paints in north of India. But any updates on this?
Yeah, Berger Paints is coming up at Sandila, where we also have acquired land and we have set up a small plant near to Kanpur in a leased premises, which will be shifted to Sandila maybe towards end of this year or beginning of next financial year. Until then, our small plant will be catering to KNP and a small portion to Berger. I think Berger is also planning to go into stream this year, sometime in the middle of this financial year. And once their numbers start going up, our capacity utilization also will improve in that small unit at Kanpur.
Okay, but we have started work on this small unit, right?
Small unit is already up and running for last 8 months, mainly to KNP. Berger numbers are yet to start.
Okay. And thirdly, so Asian Paints has recently announced that CAPEX expansion, a new greenfield facility in their MP in Madhya Pradesh. So any updates? Have you received letter of intent or something like that?
See, they are about to decide about the location and other things. We are also in touch with them. We definitely have a chance, but at this stage, I can't comment on that opportunity.
Okay. And lastly, if you could update the cash and books at the end of 31st December 2022.
Cash on book means you are looking at our
the cash balance.
Debt limits have come down from cash on is equivalent to 2.2 crores, but long term debt has come down. Overall debt has come down from 44 crores to 33.5.
Okay, because all these expansions, are we looking to take on more debt for these expansion projects that we have?
See, company is generating enough revenues to sustain, and actually our short-term debt that is on working capital is hardly 4.6 crores, which used to be 3-4 years ago to the tune of around 90 crores. It has now come down to just 4.5 crores in spite of investing almost 85 crores so far in this current financial year, and we have another commitments to complete another 40 crores investment in the next 3 to 4 months. So as anticipated, in the next 2-3 years, our investment of 250 crores would be mostly funded by internal generation, and if any need be, we'll be using our working capital funds, which, you know, to the tune of more than 100 crores we can actually borrow based on the limits that are available on our stocks. But current utilization is hardly 4.6 crores.
Okay.
So all the expansion projects will be funded through internal generation, and need be some increase in the short-term debt or long-term debt, whatever the case may be.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Our debt equity is 0.06 as of today.
Okay. Thank you for this.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Amish Agarwal from Prabhudas Lilavar. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, a few normal questions. One being, what is the ratio of IML and non-IML for us in Q3?
IML and non-IML, I think it's more or less stable. Total IML is 67.36%, as against 65.46 last year, so about 2% improvement in the overall IML in terms of volume. In terms of value, from 68.3, it becomes 71.
Okay. And like you said, paint has declined by 10%. So what has been the growth for your lubes and food?
Lubes is 17%, food is around 25%. So because the paint constitutes more than 50% of our top line, there the 10% dip has brought down the entire overall growth to only 3%. So lubes is a healthy growth of 17%. Food and FMCG, we're close to 25% growth.
25%. Okay.
Yeah.
And what could be the your sales proportion now? How much would be the sales from paints?
Paint is 50%. Lube is around 28% in terms of volume, I'm talking. And the remaining 22% is from food and FMCG, which was around 18% last year. So from 18%, the food and FMCG business has become 22%.
Okay. And in terms of value?
In terms of value, it was 22.8 last year, has become 27.7.
Food and FMCG.
Food and FMCG.
And paints?
Paints was 54, has dipped to 46.5.
Okay.
16.7% drop in the value terms.
Understood. And lubes would have been the balance.
Lubes is up by around 8% in value.
Okay. And sir, what is driving the growth of lubes? Because lubes as such is not that high growth segment.
No, so in the lubes, the growth is coming through DEF, which is a low-end lubricant. That's why if you notice, while the sales growth is 8% in revenue terms, the volume growth looks 17%. Because this is a low-end lube called DEF, introduced by several lube companies with low-end utilization for mainly for ad loops. It's called ad loop brands, for which we are giving majorly to Gulf and Valvoline. So there the, you know, even the use of ordinary peels is more than adequate. So there the value addition is little less. But that is what is driving the growth in lube industry.
Okay. And sir, what about the beta per kg overall and for paints, lubes and FMCG during this quarter?
We didn't have the breakup for this quarter, but in general, it is like this. Paints will be in the tune of around 42 rupees, overall average I'm talking. Lubricants also will be in the region of 30 to 35 range. And food and FMCG will be typically around 80 rupees per kg.
80 rupees, okay. And now, given the fact that volumes have dipped by 10% for paints in 3Q, so how has the 4Q started? Is there some uptick in the demand and our offtake?
Yes, yes. In January, we have a very good demand uptick. And as I told you, the plant of Asian Paints at Satara is undergoing expansion, and it may go into production from back into full production from March. So there is some disruption in their activities because of the expansion project. But they will be back into normalcy from March onwards. And we certainly hope that at least the numbers of Asian Paints which dipped during last 3-4 months would be back into normalcy or better going forward.
So what sort of volume growth are we targeting in 4Q for paints in general and overall for the company?
4Q paint growth, we anticipate 8 to 10% only, because from a minus 10, probably it may come up to 7 to 8% plus side. Lubricant will continue to have decent growth because this DF is relatively new. So this growth in the Q4 compared to the Q4 of last year will be again in double digits. But we are more positive on food and FMCG. We hope to cross at least 30% growth we clocked in food and FMCG in this quarter over the previous Q1 is our guess.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. It's very helpful. I will come back if I have more questions.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Hitesh Tong from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my questions on the lubricant front. As you mentioned that there was a significant growth of low margin business, and going forward you are estimating a same kind of double digit growth in the lubricant segment, then I afraid that there could be impact on the margin of the company. If I'm wrong, please give some explanation on that. That is the first question. Second question, sir, if you can elaborate your CapEx plan for FY24, you mentioned the plans and all in detail, but I missed the absolute number of CapEx for FY24. Overall, and if you can give segment-wise CapEx, like for paint, for lubricant, or for FMCG, and even for common, that will be really helpful. And third question is on FMCG front, sir. You mentioned that you are very confident that you will be going to clock around 30% kind of volume growth. And I believe that we are going at approximately 20 to 20% CAGR on that business as well. So what gives you so much of confidence that this segment is likely to grow by 20 to 25% CAGR for the next 2 years? I just wanted to know which new segments or say existing customers' wallet share are you going to gain? These are my three questions.
Coming to your first investment question, the investment again will be in the tune of 100 to 125 crores for the next financial year. As in this year. We have already in this year incurred more than 80 crores so far, and we have machinery and other robots coming up in the next few months, which will complete, I think, more than 100 crores investment in this current financial year. And the next year, we have we'll be crossing again 100, 120 crores overall investment. Panipat and Cheyur will be the rest of the 50 crores. We are spending around 12 crores, 13 crores on the land for both the locations put together. There will be an additional 50 crores investment at Panipat and Cheyur for ABG. And at Daman, we are setting up a food and FMCG project where we have earmarked around 20 to 25 crores. That is for food and FMCG. And at Sultanpur, we are having this pharmaceutical machinery arriving in the first quarter of next financial year to the tune of around 15 crores in the first phase. and we are also adding one printing technology, new digital technology machine arriving in March. So that may be March or April. So next year we'll be having at least 25 crores investment at Sultanpur, 25 crores at Daman, and Panipat and Cheyur to the tune of 50 to 55 crores. And Sandila, where we are planning for this Berger and KNP, to the tune of around 15 to 18 crores in the first phase will be spent. So, and there will be tool room machinery, there will be other auxiliary equipment, balancing equipment, to the tune of 5 to 10 crores. All put together, next year plan is also in the tune of around 120 crores of capex, out of which around 50 crores plus part of it, Panipat, that is say 55, 58 crores, will be for food and FMCG and pharma. And the remaining 55, 60 crores will be for paid, mainly for ABG.
Okay, sir. And about your FMCG growth plan, sir, any new product launches or what?
Actually, if you look at our 9 months figures, our food and FMCG has grown by around 35%. Only in the Q3, we have a small dip of 25%. But for the first two quarters, it was more than 40%. So overall 9 months, even today, it is a healthy 35% growth. And as generally it happens, whenever Diwali is late and Diwali closes in October end or November beginning, there will be sudden drop in all the consumable and FMCG, food and FMCG product consumption, including edible oils, ghee and sweets and all other products, even restaurant packs, sweet packs. So this is the reason for the Q3 to be dull historically. It's not this Q3. But typically our growth rate in food and FMCG is exceeding 35-40%. That's why I'm very confident at least 30% growth we will be achieving again in the Q1 of this current year. My guess is would have been 40, but for the delay in three major products, that Kisan Jam and Horlicks 2 packs were delayed again into February. Some trial lots only they have taken in the month of end of January, and trials are all successfully completed on their filling lines. So hopefully we are expecting some call-ups to start in March. So even if we not get much in this quarter, you will still clock at least 25-30% growth in food and FMCG in Q4 of the current financial year. But Q1 of next year, we'll definitely have these three products up and sold. So they will be again adding for the next year growth. These are the three products which can contribute about 10% of our sales. So apart from 25%, 30% which we normally see, additional 10% will come from only these three products. That's why I'm confident next year also we'll see 30 plus kind of growth in the food and FMCG segment.
I beg your pardon, sir. Three products you said, Kisan Jam, Horlicks and
Horlicks, two packs.
One kg and 2 kg packs. Okay. And sir, my other question was on the lubricant segment, which is growing much faster than...
The growth of DEF is basically because of low-end product it is, and there are low-end techniques to manufacture them. So the margins may not impact so much because a lubricant as it is constitute around 25% of our sales. And in that 25%, 10% of them constitute DEF, the growth which is coming from is DEF. But if you see the overall growth of our lubricant, it is 17.5. So 7.5% is a healthy growth coming from IML containers and regular lubricant containers, which are shifting more and more into IML. So I wouldn't be much worried about those 10% of the lubricant packs which are at low margin, because we are getting more and more QR code conversions in IML in the next few quarters. Already Shell has introduced, given us clearance for 4 SKUs. One SKU has already been supplied and the balance are going in February. And once they see their software and entire supply chain is all set for QR code traceability, they want to go more and more into QR coded IML. Similarly, Castrol is also at the verge of final trials. After a long gap, which we anticipated this to happen 6-7 months ago. But due to the software compatibility and the internal changes they have to adopt to get into QR code, they are taking longer time. So we anticipate better realization from these QR-coded IML containers going forward. So that will more than offset this small low margin business. So I wouldn't be worried about that impacting the margins. What will impact the margins is growth in food and FMCG and growth in pharma going forward. Even the margins what we negotiated with ABG group are reasonably strong and sustain, they won't bring down our overall EBITDA.
Okay. So, sir, when you're saying that we have a new customer for the lubricant segment that want a higher margin product, so that means that can we anticipate the segment which was going very dull on the volume point of view, 4 to 5% kind of growth historically, and can grow by around 10 to 12% CAGR for the next 2 years?
Yes.
In terms of volume.
Because not only that, whether they go for QR or not, slowly more and more lube companies are shifting their packs and brands into IML. That itself is a growth enhancer for us. Even if the industry grows at 4-5%, we can easily get 8 to 10% growth in the lube for the next 2-3 years. If the QR code adoption also catches up, which I've been not want to be too optimistic because it's been taking a long time by the leaders, but once the leaders adopt it and others follow the trend, it can catch up. But in spite of whether QR code emerges, entrenches the others or not, getting 8 to 10% growth in the regular loop business is certainly possible.
Okay. And sir, my last question, last is bookkeeping question, sir. I missed the volume, absolute volume numbers for the segment wise, if you can share it once again, sir.
Absolute numbers means tons I can give you.
Paints, so, and
it is 3,800. Loops, it is 2,100. Food is around 1,625.
And sir, in the revenue point of view, sale for the same?
Sale point of view, 46.5% is paint. Okay. 25.7 loops, balance is food.
Okay.
Food and FMCG.
Thank you, sir. That's all from me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Bhargav Buddhadev from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, team, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, how big is the revenue contributor of Shell as a percentage of overall lubricant revenues?
Well, it is Shell is contributing out of total, let's say, 100 of lubricant sale. Shell must be in the tune of around 20%.
Of lubricant revenue?
Of the lubricant revenue.
Okay. So given that Shell is a large customer, is it fair to say that other players may also line up if the project with Shell is a success?
Yeah. If Shell starts, actually they are starting with only 4 SKUs. They have more than 30 SKUs. In these 4, they want to go into the market and look at their entire supply chain, be ready to adopt the QR code. Because the QR coding is just not for identifying the product, but to ensure that there is a traceability, there is a promotion opportunity, dynamic promotions, which I explained in my previous calls. So that is what they want to completely test with this first brand. Once this brand is proved and it is in, and their supply chain adjusts to these utilization of QR codes effectiveness, they want to see for the next couple of months. And I'm sure once they taste the success, they will certainly go for shifting most of their brands into QR. Similarly, Castrol is also almost there. Probably they may take another month or so to test their internal software and tie up the software to the supply chain issues that arise out of QR code. That process they are in. And once that is streamlined, they will also be moving into it. And there are a couple of FMCG companies, Valco and Creamline Dairy, we are talking to them about introducing this for their promotional side of QR code. So things are slowly getting opened up and companies are showing entrance and identifying the effectiveness of QR code. But for their internal supply chain arrangements, they may take a little longer time to adopt this.
Okay, okay. Secondly, sir, on the pharma side, as of now, there's this Avidex as the OTC customer. Are we in talks with mainstream pharma companies, given that we are targeting revenues to come in the next 6 to 8 months?
Next 6 to 8 months, we are not targeting with that. It's basically only from Avidex is one major item, and there are a couple of other dairy products where we will be using our regular IBM. But
okay.
Going into pharma, we'll be starting sometime in June, July. And as I told you in the last calls also, it will take at least 4 to 5 months for us to get the approvals. And we are in touch with most of the pharma companies, but they all are waiting for the samples to be submitted. And then only they take the things forward. And we are also planning not to have all the eggs in one basket, like only export containers. We are also planning effervescent tablet tubes and desiccant canisters to add to our product portfolio. We are in talks with, very initial talks with a nasal drops company. And if that also comes in, we may have that product range also in the initial phase itself, so that we don't have a long period of gestation after we start set up the machinery in June, July. Hopefully these products will take off quickly than the export tablet packs, which have longer time for clearances in terms of both the American side and mainly the customer side clearances. So while that project goes on, that product clearances take a little longer time till say beginning of next calendar year, we will be pushing our sales in the other segments so that keeps our facilities also busy.
And sir, last question is on food and FMCG. So given that our organic growth is in high double digits, what would be our penetration with our existing food and FMCG clients? Penetration meaning how much adoption have they done of IML? Is there a big room for growth organically?
Yeah, there is still a long way to go in India for IML. Now, slowly restaurants are identifying IML as a better way of fishing out most of these SVG and other sales they do across the counter are take-home packs. So because it retains a brand image, it is very convenient for the clients. It has some kind of tamper evidence and leak proof.
So the penetration of IML with our customers would be what, single digit?
What do you mean by this customer single digit?
No, what I'm saying is, assuming if we are dealing with an ice cream customer, say for example Amul. So Amul would not have converted all their containers or packets into IML, right? They would also be selling in other packs. So what would be the share of IML in their own packaging is what I was asking.
Yeah, in the dairy industry, I would say it is in the tune of 20-25%. The entire ice cream nowadays, majority of the people have shifted to IML containers. Nobody can sell nowadays in ordinary, dab looking containers anymore. Everybody is looking at a well decorated ice cream container. So that way it is more or less adopted. But even today, a lot of this butter, ghee, cheese, only the top brands have shifted. Some of them are still not shifted from tin or other forms of packing. There's a long way to go. And coming to the another area where we are finding shift coming is protein powder, that peanut butter and other products, people started shifting. I would say about 15-20% of the market is now using IML, and remaining 80-90% are yet to shift. Cashews packaging is slowly started in IML, the containers, because they look better, and exporting that product in a 5-liter square pack or 2-liter small pack would look much better than sending it in tins and putting a stickered decoration on it. So that is very initial stage. I would say hardly 5%, 3-5%, so it can grow multiple times. So like that, there are various other segments. For example, another area catching up is dates. Dates earlier, which were there in ordinary paper packing and later on cardboard packing and later on into ordinary plastic packing, are now going in for IML containers. So dates is another product which is slowly moving more and more into AML. Sweet boxes are still, I would say, hardly 2 to 3%, or maybe less than 3% of the sweet boxes used in the country. I would say less than 1% are currently in IML containers. The top brands are slowly going in for that, and the secondary and tertiary brands have also will not have choice in the next 2 years to adopt into IML sweet boxes, because as and when people start comparing, they will adopt, they will attach quality to the decoration. So they think this switch is much more superior than the other ones. So companies like Haldiram's, a couple of their franchisees and Haldiram's have shifted to IML, but other brands are yet to do that. So the local regional brands, we were on the edge watching what's happening. They will slowly shift to IML containers for their sweet boxes and karas and all that, snacks. So that is another big area. And coming to the restaurants, the move has started. Earlier, the restaurants, whenever you order some food, they will give you in a plain, colorless container, put it in a bag and give it to you. But now they want that container to carry their brand image, carry their address and phone number or Swiggy or whatever. So that, you know, the customer recall will be coming, and more awareness about the product will be there, and the brand will be spreading for a marginal extra cost. So that awareness is coming up in restaurant packs. We anticipate big growth in restaurant packs in the next coming quarters. Actually, even we started exporting a couple of brands to U.S., chains of Indian restaurants in USA. For restaurants, sweets, and some even batter for idlis and dosas. So like that, there's a long way to go in the food products, every niche area, including in the FMCG side, there are several products which can be converted from conventional packaging to IML containers. The process is going on, and we are keeping ourselves at the helm of the efforts. Actually, the digital printing machine we are getting in the end of February, beginning of March, is capable of giving very short runs without even a day of development time. There is no delay. You receive the artwork today, you can start printing in a few minutes. So that kind of a quick response printing technology we are adopting in March this year, it will be starting production, and that will be taking us into markets faster.
Great, so very well explained. Thanks a lot and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one.
Hello.
Yes.
We have the next question from the line of Venkat Raman from Orient Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I want to know, what is our overall market share with Asian Paints in terms of packaging? How do we compare with a competitor like, say, Hi-Tech Corporation?
See, Hi-Tech has plants all across wherever Asian Paint has a plant. So they certainly have higher market share. And in fact, if you analyze their balance sheet, they are being a listed company, you will notice in the paint segment, they get almost 75% of their revenues from Asian Paints, as against around 25-30% in our case. In coming to absolute numbers of Asian Paints, I guess Hi-Tech should be having 35-40% share of Asian Paint business. Moltec may be having around 20, because we don't have plants all across wherever they are. In Rotak, we don't have a plant. In Chennai, we don't have a plant. But other locations, we have a plant wherever they are. And there, we are getting around 25-30% of their business share, typically. So on overall 6 plants, probably our percentage would work out around 20-22%. Balance, 40% is spread between 5 to 6 small and medium-sized unlisted companies.
For Mysore and Vizag plants, whatever expansion plans that Asian has researched, there we have an equal, equal footing with Hi-Tech, or are we still a secondary partner?
As far as Hi-Tech is concerned, they always been given a little better share, because I don't want to say that, but their this kind of one of the companies promoted by one of the directors' family. And sometimes we equal high-tech. Maybe you are correct, in Mysore we are selling as much as high-tech does, but I don't have exact data. But in my general opinion, we come as the second in the supplier choice to Asian Paints.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Prashant Shah from Serum Institute of India. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you outlined the plans very nicely and the prospects look very good for the company. I would just like to know what is the perspective of the competitive position that you see. What are the risk factors you see wherein our plans may not work out perfectly? That is my only question.
Yeah, you see, like some kind of disruption in the general trends of economy could definitely lead drop in consumption of FMCG or paint or lubricants. The consumption can impact our growth plans. That is one. Second is general projects being several. We are now, earlier we used to execute one or two projects every year. Like say Sultanpur was happening, then we initiated the leisure premises at Kanpur. That was last year. But this year, we have five projects simultaneously coming up. That's a challenge we need to really handle while taking care of the growth that is coming in the companies, all other areas of growth we are facing. In food and FMCG, we are very favorably placed. Even in the lubricants, we may expect a swing of demand due to IML and QRIML. In the paint, it is mainly due to new entrants coming in and new opportunities, new plants that we are setting up. So next year, the challenge for the company could be executing these projects of Daman, second unit, Panipat, Chayur, and Sandila, and probably the Sultanpur Pharma project successful completion by end of Q1 or beginning of Q2 in this year. So there will be a lot of pressure on the team to complete these five projects, or at least four of them, in the next 12 to maximum 12 months, 12, 15 months maybe. Chayur can give some time till April next year. So in next 12 to 15 months, we need to complete these projects and take care of the new products that we are introducing in pharma and make sure that pharma, we are there in correct location with proper facilities. Thankfully, we have got the team in place and we could add correct hands in both pharma and even in our food and FMCG. And those personnel are slowly getting in grip over the subject, and hopefully they will stand by when the company requires the services. So that could be another challenge of executing these four to five projects in the next 12 to 15 months and bringing them into full-fledged production. So these are the two risk factors I would, not the risk factors, but two major factors that can influence our projections. But we have been looking at the trends in food and FMCG. That is what gives us more confidence of growth in the next 2-3 years. But by the time we are ready with all these plans by next year, these plans themselves can be real growth engines for us.
Okay. So thank you, sir. So just one other point. Have you been able to complete the pass-through of the RM increases for the last few quarters?
Yes, we always have that same passing through mechanism with 90% of our clients, and other clients we take our own favorable way. But with the 90% of the clients, it is either monthly or quarterly passing on both sides, up or down the price, we pass it on. So that way we absolutely have no problems. And in fact, we have now started asking for higher conversion costs because of increase in power and the labor cost that will happen periodically once in 2 years. So now we are in that process of seeking higher price for our conversion to cover up and maintain our margins.
Would you be able to guide us what has been the raw material cost for us for the last quarter? And what are the trends going on?
The raw material cost is around 105, 111.
Can you please repeat?
102 rupees for this quarter.
102 for Q3?
Q3, yeah.
Okay, and what has been the trend in this in the current quarter so far?
It is just ramping up a little bit now. Some 2-3 rupees has gone up, I think. Price are firming up, right? In December also, they will keep firm up. And in January, again, another 1-2 rupees rise is there.
Okay.
Not to the extent what it was last year. Last year, this time, it was in 120 level.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pulkit Singha from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just trying to understand the overall volumes for the quarter, are they 7,525 or any other figure? Then what was the growth?
750 tons.
7,550.
Yeah.
And versus what in the base?
You mean the previous Q3? It was 7,330.
Yes. So there's been a 3% volume growth and a 10% EBITDA decline. Despite having better mix of food and FMCG in the mix. And I'm just trying to understand this aspect a bit better because your EBITDA per kgs have only been coming down. I mean, Q1, Q2, Q3 are all lower than last year despite higher food and FMCG. So what are we missing out on?
So one reason, as I just explained in the previous question, the power and labor costs have gone up in the last 6-8 months in several locations at Andhra Pradesh, in Vizag, Mysore, Hyderabad, and even Daman. The power costs have been increased some 6-7 months ago, and we are negotiating with our clients to add it back in our conversion. So that is one reason. The second is these several projects what we started, recruiting some of the manpower, key people for pharma, key people for our plants that are coming up at Daman and other locations. So they will be... They joined, some of them joined 6 months ago, some of them joined 3 months ago, some of them joined just in this month. So they will be effectively utilized only as we go forward in the next few months. So let's say Sultanpur plant will be operational in March and other plants might go into production only by end of this year. So some of these overheads are also bearing a little bit of pressure on our margin for the current short term. But as we improve our sales and utilization of capacities. Another factor which impacted us severely in this quarter in particular is the drop in our Kandala plant, which is Satara plant, due to Asian Paints going on for expansion mode. And so there the capacity utilization has fallen to 60%. So that is another area which has dipped in the margins. They are going back into production with expanded capacity from March 23. So we will be coming back to our 40-plus kind of margins very soon, once these few things are corrected.
Right, but this one-off cost that you mentioned for new facilities, because your employee cost has been pretty flat for the last 5 quarters. So we are not seeing that in the employee cost, in your other expense was lower. So
yeah,
where are these costs?
This time, there is a sharp rise of more than 15% in the employee cost.
And 15%.
More than that. Yeah, it was 28 crores for the 9 months for the staff. It is now 32.5. And for the contract labor, it is 19.55 has become 23.76, which is more than 20%. So the mainly there is an increase in the employment cost, employees cost in this current year due to the various staff and trainees have been taken and they have been under training and getting ready for the new plants.
Right, right. But sir, if you look at your revenues excluding Asian Paints, and we are talking about non-Asian Paints revenues for the last 5-6 years, there's not been any material improvement there. I mean, you also share your maximum, you know, your top customer revenues. And if I subtract it from paint segment revenues, so that has not happened in the last 5-6 years, despite the industry also having grown. So why has that been the case?
No, I didn't understand your question.
Sir, if I look at the last, let's say, 4 or 5 years, and you provide the breakdown of paint revenues, And we also know how much Asian Paints contributes because you have to disclose the top customer revenue. And you've done that. So when we subtract your paint revenues, excluding Asian Paints, that is non-Asian Paint revenues, that hasn't materially grown in the last 4-5 years. That is your revenues from all the other paint companies. And that is boosted despite...
We are not really fighting to grab any market share from rest of the paint companies because we are focusing more and more on food and FMCG and more into pharma and high value add products rather than paint paints. The story is different with Asian Paints or ABG because they look at quality, they look at high speed filling machines, filling lines requiring high quality paints. So their realizations and their way of volumes and business is much better than going back into other paint companies which are more very, very price conscious. So we are not growing in that segment as much. We are not putting too much effort to grow that business.
Okay. Okay. Got it. And in your 20% guidance, the growth for next year, what is the paint industry volume growth that you assume?
Yeah, next year we are hoping that the growth volume would be in the region of 15 to 18%, of which I'm hoping at least 8 to 10% growth would come because there is a slack in this year and that has to be covered up if the economy does well. And more than that, Asian Paints is expanding its capacity at Satara, which will be operative from March. And they are jumping up by, they are mentioning around 40 to 50% increase. So that should translate to a similar rise in Satara's output, which is currently pegged at 60%. So it may go up to 80-90% capacity utilization if their plans expansion completes in March. So that is one area why we are positive about paint segment contribution. Though ABG is talking about starting their plants by December, January, even if there is a couple of months delay, I am not counting that business to come in this financial year. So this will be purely on Asian Paints coming back and their projections for Mysore and Vizag, which are again given in more than double digit, a healthy double digit. So that is why we are confident the paint industry, paint growth for next financial year will be in the tune of at least 8 to 10%.
Okay. And lastly, what is the EBITDA per kg we should assume for next year as per your internal calculations?
Next year, I think we'll be again back to 40-42 bracket, which is this quarter got missed, but the fourth quarter itself, we are hoping we'll be back to 40-42 bracket, which will bring us the overall year, which is now 9 months, 40.24, probably will be in the region of 40-41 bracket for the overall year. Next financial year, it should inch up at least to 42-43 because we have three major launches of new FMCG products which got delayed actually. And now the trials have been completed, so I can hope they will start in March. And even IDEX will start sometime in April, May. So that will also be with a better margins than our total average. So I'm guessing that next year we can aim it between 42 to 43. Unless pharma comes in, which we hope the numbers will be only reasonable from 24-25. We once pharma comes in, probably we can aim at 44-45 kind of EBITDA.
Got it.
24-25 onwards.
Great. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. As we have no further questions, I would like to hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I thank you very much to MK and for arranging this conference. And I also thank all the participants for their time and interest they have shown in our company operations. Wish you all a very happy evening and good luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.